You were listening to the 1 Million Cups of Appleton. We are a group designed to educate, engage, and inspire entrepreneurs in central Wisconsin and beyond.
Thanks for joining us today. This is 1 Million Cups Appleton. We have an incredible entrepreneur with us today, Justin, with the G Farm. We were just saying that I was driving back from Fremont, Wisconsin this weekend, and I saw the big G on the side of the barn on Highway 10, 45. So now we get to kind of hear what they're about today. As just a quick reminder, 1 Million Cups is a nationwide celebration of entrepreneurship and all these different communities that kind of host, and Appleton is a community that has had 1 Million Cups for, I think, like 4 or 5 years now. We typically meet at the Venture Center at Fox Valley Tech on Wednesday morning, same time, 9 o'clock. We're here doing it digitally because a pandemic doesn't stop us. So awesome. Yeah. Justin, welcome to 1 Million Cups, and you can take it over from here. Thanks for being here today.
Yes, thank you, Andrew. My name is Justin Duell, or Farmer Justin, as most of our farm guests and followers know me as. I started Gartsky Farms LLC in 2014 on paper. I was doing tax preparation, retirement planning, and it was not the direction I wanted my life to go. I couldn't see myself doing it in 10 years. So I started looking for other directions. And when I looked in my backyard, I had a bunch of 4 chickens and a dog and a little garden. And I was like, let's see if I can make that happen and see how I can scale that. So it really started at that point and haven't stopped since. So thank you for coming in and watching and being part of this today. It's important to me, and I'm thankful for that. So my goal is to become a farmer full-time. I'm currently at my day job, work 32 to 40 hours a week at this current time. But I'm hoping that at some point that I can drive all of my income from the land as our grandparents did. So this is the project that I started to undertake in 2015. I bought the farm in April of 2015. And that first year, while I was doing tax preparation, retirement planning, my dad, he had ended up firing me. And so I really tried hard to push to make farming happen right away, but that didn't immediately take root. And so then since then, I've been growing to build it to the point which I can make it that full-time position. So these are the tools that I use on the farm. A lot of people have big tractors and large scale fields that they're putting corn and soybean, and that's what farming means to them. But I see agriculture a little bit different. These are the tools that I use to improve and to make my farm whole again, I guess is what I would say. So we've got a large flock of laying hens, pigs. We have broiler chickens, beef, and turkey on the farm. The way that we move our animals, it was mentioned before, I'd gotten a knock at the door this morning, and the lady had let me know that there are a couple of cows out on the road, which it's been a while since that's happened, but it's a little bit, it's kind of like a mad scientist, wild west type farm. And we move our animals and we try to put them into spaces to utilize the things that they're best at. So the cattle, when you give them a confined area for grazing their grass for the day, or the consumption that the forbs and all the legumes and that you're trying to get into their body to help them grow, you give them a space and they're going to continue to eat the most flavored, best tasting, palatable pieces up front. And so when we put them into that smaller space, sometimes they have to eat whatever's left over, and that really helps build the soil and the pasture. So we move our animals around on a daily basis, and I don't, so it's what it's called in agriculture is a leader follower system. And I don't follow this exactly. I have my own take on it. So I move cows first and then laying hens kind of behind that. The pigs have their own space that I kind of rotate them in a pinwheel type rotation. And then the broiler chickens get moved on a daily basis, but that doesn't necessarily follow the cows quite either. But what's important about this is that we're getting grass into all of the animals' diets, which is super helpful for our diets when we consume these animals. And when they're eating these grasses, it's called sloughing off the roots. So when the cow eats the grass on the top, the roots die off and it builds and aerates and allows for more water absorption into the soil. So it's a little bit of why. A big part project that I undertook early on, it's called agroforestry. I've planted hundreds and thousands of trees out on pasture, and it's important to help give additional diversity because every single species that I bring onto the farm, it supports seven other species. So really diversity is really important to us in helping our diet. And we need to eat diversely too. When you go to a grocery store, of the items in the grocery store, like 4,000 of the items all have corn in it. So that doesn't bode well for our internal ecosystems. And it really starts out there on the farm and keeping that diversity there first. We also have a pretty large garden. To be quite honest, I'm doing awful with that this year. My wife and I just had a baby, and this is Kim. And so I haven't been sleeping a lot and haven't been getting time into the garden quite as I'd like to, but that's where we're at. How we sell our product, we sell directly to the consumer almost exclusively. So first and most important space for us is our on-farm store. So we have regular store hours, which is super important for any business. You just got to be there when people need you and what they're expecting you to be there. Another piece that we do, another avenue for doing business with us, is what we call our CSA, our meat CSA. So that is all of the product that we have into a monthly delivery system, something like ButcherBox, but at a local level. And I think that is a superior product ultimately. So all of the product that you see there, the one item that you hadn't heard me talk about there is fish. So we have a 3.5 acre pond, and that's well stocked. I just can't figure out how to get the fish out of there, and I'm not a good fisherman line casting. So someday. So this is an example of one of our 8-pound CSAs from some time ago, but just an example, just a mix of what we have. So we were participating in the farmers markets, which is important for any local farm to be a part of the community that way. And farmers markets are looking a little bit different for us this year. So I'll talk about that here in a little bit more. Another avenue that we have and we work with is what we call the Camel Cooperative. So that is, it's relatively new, but we're doing, it's a group of seven or eight member owners that are building a conglomerate that we're selling product on a weekly basis through an online purchase system and then a weekly delivery thereafter. It is pretty similar to our online system. And as a member owner, that's part of the reason for that. So if you haven't seen the Camel Co-op, that's actually where you may see my face in the past. I did present on that in November, something like that, late last year anyhow. So when someone makes their way to our website, we prompt them to sign up for our email list, and we send out weekly emails to get and share our viewpoints, our perception of what agriculture looks like to, it's important to be as transparent as possible. And what better way than to see and talk about us as individuals, as persons, how our agricultural system is working and what we see in the big picture too. Obviously you can find us on Facebook, Instagram. I have started doing a YouTube page, and I'm gonna try really hard. I've got a really exciting video coming out this Friday, of our first chickens that we processed on the farm for the year. We also do a lot of events. So I try to do quarterly events. We're shut down just like everybody else. We're not doing much for, on-farm sharing of in groups and quantities that way. But we have an ice fishing event yearly, Easter egg hunt. That's fantastic. That was probably our best event ever. We do farm tours on occasion. We've done a and hope to do. This was a fun one. Farm to table dinner right there on the farm. So we were showing and sharing food from as close to where it came from as possible. So this is actually a really interesting piece that has been taking off right now for me. This is called Hip Camp. It's a group of individual campsites that are personally owned or private property that we open up our properties to campers to come on. We ourselves have one site, so this is our tiny house, and it's right down on the pond, and they get a family of up to six can stay down there for a day or as long as they'd like. But probably our most profitable enterprise right now. It's doing fantastic. The mosquitoes aren't out yet, so it's a good time to be down there. I'm going to talk a little bit about how and the scale of growth, because in feeding the community and to scale this and to beat out, you know, large scale agriculture, I do need to produce quite a good number of products. So in 2015, that first year, I was really just bringing my on-farm or my flock onto the farm, working a little bit with some chickens, trying to figure that stuff out. And then in 2016, that's when my dad had fired me. I really pushed the envelope and was really thinking I was going to get somewhere and just jump into farming full-fledged. But that didn't quite work out. So then in 2016, I ended up finding another job and then scaled it back and have been building based on reputation and self-directed from that time on. So this year, we've got 150 laying hens. We're going to be butchering 1,100 to 1,300 broilers. We've got five cows going in. I'm trying to slow down on the cattle production just because we have the need for more meat in the future too. So I'm trying to grow my herd, which is an important piece of that. And I don't necessarily want to do it just by going out and buying them. I do like the animals that I have. They're very good and they're selected and growing on the farm, which is superior than me going out and bringing some animal from another system. So pigs, we've got 16 on the farm today, about 40 turkey. And like I said, the garden is a little bit off base. I did quit rabbits and ducks. Neither of them were panning out for us quite as we wish, but that doesn't mean that I won't get back into it at some point. When I bought the farm, or excuse me, before I bought the farm, before the highway was installed, this was a flat piece of land. And when they installed the highway, they really took and sold the previous landowner, took all of the fill, and they sold that to the DOT as they put it underneath the highway. So they really, they wrecked this farmland, and it didn't seem like it was a property that was destined for another conventional agriculturist. It's poor soil, poor conditions for moving a plow, for them to be moving around farm equipment. And when I was looking at it, it just looked like there was so much potential for me. So this is the beginning of me designing the system. You can see that I put my round bales out on pasture. You can kind of see some of the rows of trees that I'd installed, started to get my garden going. So you can see that in my first couple of years there. I work with a group called the NRCS, which is a government group that helps subsidize some of the costs into getting into farming. This is a pretty recent picture from fall of last year. You can see I've got some cows out here. This is an area for the pigs that I rotate them around in a pinwheel. I'm building an additional one right here. All of these rows of trees one day are going to be feeding the pigs. I think that the fruits and the nuts and the all of that good stuff is really going to be beneficial. I've doubled my garden size, you can see over here. And so when you're driving down the highway, as Andrew was talking about, you kind of come around a corner and then you see the front side of the barn and recognize where you are. So COVID-19 affecting our farm and affecting agriculture on the whole. There's been a huge run on meat. Us individually as a farm, we sold out several weeks ago. It's been pretty interesting because I had planned on going to the farmers markets this year, several of them, and that's been a growing space for me, and I didn't want to give that up. But when people orders kept coming in, pouring in, through our website for deliveries directly to the households, we couldn't stop. So fortunately, now we have, I have a day a week that I'm able to take that time and put it back into my family and work around on the farm and continue to grow. A big piece of this is backed up processing. So when large agricultural farms have lost their animals, lost the ability to bring in hundreds of pigs or hundreds of cows, they don't have anywhere to go with it. And they've decided, should I euthanize these animals? Should I try to sell them on the cheap? So a little bit of both have happened. And when a smaller producer buys those animals and they try to get them out into a, put them into their freezer, they found that all of the processors have been backed up significantly. So it's been increasingly difficult for some producers to get their product in. So that's kind of the effect that's hole that it's put us into. Now we're halfway through the year and I've just started looking for some of the chickens for the second half of the year. And I found how much lack that there is, I can't find any chickens available for the second half of the year. So I'm going to have to do a couple of different things to get around on that. And a little bit of that's going to be based on breed and some of that. Big picture, I believe that the whole agricultural system that we're part of needs to be changed drastically. And it's going to be small producers like myself that are able to help provide that product to our communities that are really going to be important in getting that done. This type of regenerative agriculture, resilient type system, it's going to be around for a long time. This what I'm building is definitely a flagstone of growing for the future. So much of the conventional current agricultural systems are losing their topsoil, losing their fertility, and that doesn't bode well for a thriving community or a good world ahead. So yes, I absolutely do believe that I would be and will be in the position at some point in time to farm directly for a living and specifically for a living. And I can't wait for the day. So I do have a date in mind and hopefully that pans out. So encourage you all to be the change that you want to see in the world. And that's what I started. So do you guys have any questions for me today?
Yeah. Awesome. Hey, thanks Justin for the presentation today. This is really great to learn more about your company and I'm excited for you. Thank you. If anyone has any questions, feel free to unmute your mic and ask a question yourself or type it in the chat. Happy to relay them to Justin. Same thing if you're on Facebook, feel free to just kind of post a comment and we'll relay them over to Justin. But so if anyone has any questions, feel free to just kind of ask. I can start with my first question here for you, Justin. What again is your LLC name?
Gartsky Farms LLC.
And so where does Gartsky come from?
So I was born on a dairy farm in Manawa. My parents separated and then I was adopted by my stepdad. So okay. I wanted to carry on both my, the love and caring father that I had and my adopted dad, Sam, and my family name from which I started life in, so
got a little bit of both there. Yeah, that's awesome. And I figure that, that's where the G comes from, but awesome. It's great.
It's hard to share with someone to go to gartsky.farm or go to a website that way. So marketing didn't work out well for me that way.
No, but that's smart. The G farm. Love that. Awesome. So we have Mary Lou here. She's asking, do you have meats for sale on in your on-site farm or your store?
Currently, we do have a couple of cuts and products. We've just processed our first chickens for the year. So we do have that available. And then there's some, it's very minimal as far as pork and beef. We have about 28 CSA members and we have a walk-in freezer that's stocked for several months until we have more animals coming into the freezer to replenish that stock. So yes, we do, but it is very limited. And the best place to do that is in the farm store on Saturdays and Sundays, 9 to 1.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you for that. You'll want to, before you leave, just check out the chat because Amy posted a nice message here. And that brings up another question that I can ask you, Justin. What programs did you, like when getting your business, like what helped you get started? Did you, like you were part of the Venture Center, I believe, right? Or an accelerator there?
I was, yeah, the eSeed program. I just did complete that. And I did obtain a lot of knowledge from that. I've listened to some podcasts. I'm always listening, trying to get as much knowledge about business and farming overall. And there's been a podcast that I've had on replay. It's actually from what's called Permaculture Voices, which was a conference out in California that's been on repeat for as long as I've had the farm. And there's one particular piece in there that talks about growing agricultural businesses, but so much of the language that you learn through the eSeed program was inside of this podcast. And it just never occurred to me what this guy was talking about. So just doing the hard work and going through the program, it was helpful for me to understand some pieces of growing a business in a more clear way. So that was a helpful tool. Another piece that was very instrumental in helping me design my farm is what's called a permaculture design course. One of the books and part of the story of how I got into agriculture as a whole was listening to another podcast at that time. It's called the Survival Podcast. There's a guy by the name of Mark Shepard on that. And he spoke very clearly directly to me as a tax preparer at that time. He was explaining how the different business entities work on a tax return and how that business looks like and how it grows in each of those systems, you know, the pigs and the chickens and the cows, you know, like just each of those enterprises and how they grow. And that just spoke to me. So I read that book. Then he lives in southern Wisconsin. So then after reading the book, I continued to research and saw that one of his shadows, a guy by the name of Peter Allen, was doing what's called a permaculture design course. So I attended that. It's a 10-day intensive class where you really just get the opportunity to be entirely in their ecosystem inside of their farms. You get to walk around and learn from experts that have been doing this for dozens of years. So that was one of the most important pieces for me, was that agriculture. Awesome.
Yeah, that's cool. So feel free, if anyone has any questions, if they want to unmute their mic and chime in, feel free to do that at any point. We have a question here from Eric Thompson as well. He's wondering, Justin, are you considering expanding your campsite business?
No. The reason for that is, so we have the space that is set up. Let me go back. Can you guys see my slide still? Can you see?
Yep.
All right. So this, do you see my arrow, the pointer arrow?
Yep.
Yep.
All right. So this little area down here, this is 10% of the farm that goes around the pond. And in what's called a biodynamic farm, that's kind of the proportion that you want to just let be wild. And so I bring people up the driveway, around and just down the road over to the space. And if I start to add more of these campsites, it's going to feel less genuine. And then it's going to reduce the amount of earning potential I have there. I'm pretty pricey. It's $60 for one person and $20 per additional person for one night. So I don't want to have a whole bunch of people down there, and that's why I price it that way. So it's been wild to see how many people have been interested even at this price point. So I say no, because I don't want to just drop another campsite over here and then have two families battling it out on 4th of July about who's got bigger fireworks or whatever else like that. I have considered on the backside of the pond, there's a little flat area back here for the totally separate. I mean, you can see each other from across the pond, and I have considered that. But you're going to be so separated from so much of what I think is important about the experience on the farm, because as part of the, you know, while you're there, you get to go up to the barn and see the baby chicks. You get to go out to see the pigs. You get to go see the cows when they're grazing around. So it would just be a little bit further separated. Not to say that it's totally outside the realm, but not not this year, probably not next year. So,
yeah, that's cool. Really quickly, where do you advertise this? Do you have like Airbnb or listing or something like that?
It's HipCamp, HipCamp. They have, it's mostly in the West Coast. It's California based. I think they're out of
That's like a service that you use to add.
Yes. And they take care of all of the processing, all the insurance, which is really important, which in agriculture, there are specific insurances that allow me to bring people onto the farm to give agrotourism type events without having to have extra insurances. But they just take care of so much of it. And I just show up when they tell me to be there to bring them down to their campsite and whatnot.
Awesome. Cool. Any other questions from anyone? Feel free to unmute and ask.
I can ask you a question.
Yeah.
I'm just curious.
Go ahead, Eric.
You talked about how you're at part-time right now, but you're trying to get to full-time. Do you have kind of a timeline of how long that's going to take you to get there? Or do you know, like, I need to get my farm to this certain size of each animal or how?
I do. So I believe that I have 16 pigs going into the butcher this year. I think I need to reduce the costs in pork, and to do that, one of the big steps or challenges that I'll have to learn is to bring on my own boar. I currently just have feeder pigs that I purchase each year, and those are $80 to $120 an animal. So, I mean, that's a huge cost. So if I have, you know, a reproductive program on the farm that way for those critters, that would be fantastic. The chickens, I do not want to have to do that with. Cows, I need to be butchering somewhere in the lines of 12 to 20 cows per year. So that's why I'm not butchering any very few cows in proportion this year, as I am trying to build that herd. And the date that I have in mind is actually March 31st, 2022. The reason for that, that's just kind of been set in an early projection for me. I keep saying 5 years, when I started this job, I was like 5 years, and I'm going to put it on my calendar for a 6 year. So I have that date on a big, you know, printout right in front of my computer desk at home. So I am very focused on that date specifically.
Awesome.
Andrew, can I make a comment?
Yeah, please.
So Justin, this is Kitty Johnson from CAP Services. And so first I want to say, thank you to 1 Million Cups for bringing you to this platform, because I don't know when I would have heard about you, how long it would take me to hear about you. Hopefully your marketing, you know, gets out there and we hear more about you. I definitely will be sharing your information.
Thank you.
And I want to thank your dad for firing you. I'm sure you wanted to, because that was a great thing. This is, to me, really heartwarming. I was raised on a dairy farm, and you showed your overview. It reminded me so much of the overview of our farm back in the day. We haven't had a farm since I was a senior in high school. But I think that we need more of these. We're seeing, you know, too many people not get into farming. And I'm really happy to see when these types of farms like you have are coming to fruition and doing well. I definitely will support your business. I'm glad to learn of it. And I just want to, you know, tell you kudos, keep it up. I know it's hard, but you're doing great. And I'm just so happy to hear of your business. So thank you for sharing your business with us today.
Yes, thank you, Kitty. Yeah, I think that 60, so I said I'm at about 28 CSA members. I think that number needs to get up to about 60. It's been a number that's been stuck in my head for a long time. That would bring about, on average, it's about $100 per month per member. So to have $72,000 there in annual income, and then that generates about half of my earnings through the whole farm overall. So to have $150,000 to $180,000 of revenue, and then obviously my profit margin should be somewhere in the 40% range. So that's where I think that would turn out. So much of my income earnings right now have been going back into growth, which is fantastic. And I don't mind at all, because I see the growth. But mistakes eat me up too. You know, I know that I shouldn't be trying to fix my tractor or whatever machinery, because I'm going to have to pay someone else to do it after it breaks the next day again. You know, like that's just a waste of my time. It's futile. And then my livestock production, I've gained a lot of skills through mistakes and losses through the years. So I'm doing a lot better today than I was then. But, so just add a couple more thoughts.
Andrew, I got a question. Go ahead.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, Bob. Listen, I see you do maple syrup.
Yes.
Are you tapping trees?
Yes.
Okay.
So this is the number here on the bottom are each of the volumes of trees. Actually, maple syrup was my first agricultural enterprise. I wrote up a big business plan trying to figure out how many trees I needed to get out of that. So doing tax preparation, retirement planning, I was just trying to remove the tax preparation because so much of my work was and energy was going into that in the early time of the year. And I just wanted to be outside and do something different, not another desk job. And
is that trees you're tapping, or is that 200 gallons you're making?
That's trees. That's how many taps that I put out there. So I harvested 27 gallons, but I needed something on the order of 12,000 trees in order to make up the difference of the earnings that I had in tax preparation. Hmm. So I was, and I knew that I wasn't going to be able to sell that direct to market just by selling, you know, that one item. So that's, well, I feel that.
The reason I ask that is I have a vested interest. I have a SCORE client that has invented a product that is a vacuum pump regulator and a tank regulator for that filling. And he also has a product called a label slayer that you can, if you're bottling your own maple syrup, that you can make the labels and slap them on the bottles. It's really kind of slick.
Huh.
So you may have some interest. I might try to hook you up with this guy.
Yeah, I'm interested. The one, I'm pretty old school with so much of my agriculture production. I know that reverse osmosis is an option. I do burn a lot of firewood to boil down, you know, 40 gallons to 1 gallon. But I'm not willing to make that type of change to start doing that, because I think that some of the
this is more of a regulation for if you have a tank out there, to be sure your tank doesn't overflow and things like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm tracking. All right. Yeah. Nice.
It's also a web app or cell app. And then, like I say, the little inexpensive little label maker that you put your bottle in and you turn it and automatically slaps your labels on there. It's pretty slick.
I like that idea.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's non-electric, you know, it's back to the basics.
Nice.
Awesome.
You guys have any questions on other agricultural, you know, not just my farm, but like agriculture as a whole, you know, it doesn't need to just be specific to my farm.
David, did you have a question?
Thank you. I was just curious, you know, and I'm not super familiar with farming, but you hear in the news a lot, you know, there's a lot of failing farms out there, and especially dairy, you know, in Wisconsin in particular. And I'm just curious, you know, what's the major difference in what you're doing compared to these other ones that are, you know, dropping out in the sustainability of your farm going forward?
They have to pay for fertilizer. They're paying for a lot of chemicals and outside resources, and they're ruining their soil in doing this. I mean, they take and till a field, they turn it over, they've killed all of the microbiology inside of it, and then they go and pay for additional nitrogen to help the corn grow. And then they lose more weight in topsoil than they actually produce in kernels of corn. It's just, you know, it's not a system that's working for them in the long run. They need to reduce their costs and increase through natural systems. So I think it's a systematic problem that these families have. And they're not, you know, the people that they're selling it to, they're willing to buy the volume, but then they it's not a you're a price taker, not a price maker. And I think that that's a big problem, because when you start to compete on a small family farm of 80 head of dairy cattle, and you try to compete against a farm that's got 10,000 or 20,000 cattle, there's massive inefficiencies in that smaller farm than that mega farm. So I think that that's a problem for family farmer that's not able to keep up.
Thank you. Yeah. So in your regards to your clientele, I get the feel that you're very local based, that anybody purchasing from you is from the area.
Absolutely.
That has part to do with it as well.
Yeah. I call it my food shed. If you can't drive to me, I don't really want to deal and take care of you. It's important to eat honey from your local area because the allergens that help you come from, you know, like if you're eating honey from your space, you're going to be less likely to have the problems with those allergies in your space. So all food is important to be eaten from a local area. And the one other piece that so many individuals miss is you need to eat seasonally. You know, you need to eat what's fresh now. And some of those, it changes your diet. You've got to understand that and to be a part of that. I mean, we're not outside of our ecosystem. We're just trying to live and constrain it to exactly how we want. So, and that's part of what I communicate and talk about with my weekly email and sharing how to have a long lasting earth. You know, I don't want to see it go away.
Awesome. Well, we are getting close on time here. And the last question always, Justin, is what can the community do for you?
Do for me? Well, I guess I'm pretty sold out of stuff. So helping me help small agriculture by finding other farmers that don't have the ability to market as well as I do. I am out there. I do. Kitty, I know that you haven't seen me yet, but I'm not advertising on Facebook. I was spending $50 a month for a long time to find a lot of people. And I have a pretty good following there. So I don't have a sales problem. I have a production problem, but I do want to be systematic. That first year in 2016, when I was going gung ho, I can't tell you how many of those pigs I ate for myself. You know, like that's a lot of excess production. So to build, it takes time, and I don't want to overstep and make that mistake again. So just support small agriculture and find those small farmers that because I think that by you buying from another small farmer, you're increasing and broadening that the culture of local food. So it doesn't need to be to me specific. So that's what I think is most important. Just find your local farmer.
Awesome. Cool. Well, hey, thanks so much, Justin, for sharing your entrepreneurial story here and for the just overload of knowledge and information that you gave us today. I'm going to swing by the shop sometime on my way to Fremont or back. What just really quickly, like, what are your business hours?
So Saturday and Sunday, 9 to 1 are the hours that we are open on a regular basis. If you're driving by or, I have a little box right next to if you walk in the farm store, there's a little red box and I don't need to be in there for you to do business with me. It's illegal, but if you want to participate in that activity with me, I understand and I believe in it. So,
okay. All right. Well, hey, thanks a lot, Justin, again. And I look forward to swinging by the farm sometime. Thanks everyone else for being here today. If you have any further questions for Justin, feel free to reach out to him. I know he said he's on Facebook and imagine.
Email is the best way by far. I mean, awesome. You can call or any way that works, but email is the best.
Great. Yeah. So visit the website and let's get him to that 60, you know, 60.
CSA members.
Yeah, exactly. Let's get him to that goal sooner than his 2022 goal. I think that'd be awesome. So. Awesome, guys. Well, thanks everyone for joining today, and have a great rest of your day. And I look forward to next week. We'll have another presentation digitally here through Zoom. So please join us. And thanks a lot, everyone. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this week's speaker, and thank you for your continued support of 1 Million Cups and our community of entrepreneurs.